Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome, you guys, to this another episode of Girls Talk with Nicole podcast. Today, I'm super excited because I have my first guest. Ta-da-da-da. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
So today we are going to talk about a topic that I find Maria being a little bit of an expert in. And the funny thing is that I've been failing, so I feel like I'm an anti-expert, and Maria has been succeeding in this one.
I'm managing.
She's managing. And you know, I know that a lot of people maybe go through similar things, or maybe are seeking advice or just something to relate, whether it's failure or success. So today we are going to talk about long distance relationships. Before, however, we're going to talk about that, I just wanted to add to one of my last episodes, because I did an episode about heartbreak and how I deal with it. And I forgot about my favorite new tip, actually, that I did. And I think this is why it helps me to process it better. So basically what I think you should do is write down right after breakup the reasons why you broke up and how did you feel at the end of this relationship, because usually the feelings were misery, feeling unfulfilled, feeling like your needs are not being met. So when it's still fresh, I feel like you should write it down, or ask your friend to write it down, or maybe ask your friend to tell you what you were saying when you were feeling down. And then you should keep that list. And every time you miss your ex and you want to contact them, you should look at that list and think again, be like, do I want to contact them because I miss them, or I miss the version of them that is in my la la land that doesn't exist? And I think that really helps me just move on. Like, I realized that what I miss is actually the version that he was last year, but the way he was making me feel this year is something that I really don't miss.
Yeah, I think it's a good one, especially to ask your friends, because you can still write your own list and make it a little bit not real. But then if you ask your friends, a good friend that is honest, because also you have to ask a friend that is going to tell you the truth, not a person that just wants to comfort you. Ask me.
Let's move on to the topic of this podcast. Maria, I have a list of questions for you. So we're going to start immediately with the first question, which is basically letting Maria telling us a little bit about her long distance relationship. Maybe just tell us first, how did you meet your partner? Who is he? You don't have to use the real name if you don't have to. What's the relationship like?
So the story is very long, so I will make it short. We actually met 20 years ago in Greece. I was there for a summer job working in a bar as a bartender, and he was there with his girlfriend having holidays. But yeah, I wasn't even attracted to him at that time. I mean, we just met in the bar and then we had a good vibe. So we decided it was their last second or third day, and then they were supposed to leave. So we exchanged the numbers because I was there also with a friend, and we thought, hey, let's have a dinner together before you leave. And basically, I was never really attracted to him at that point. And then it was 20 years ago, so there was no Facebook.
There was no Facebook.
I didn't even know if there was a WhatsApp.
No, the WhatsApp definitely no.
Yes. So, but there was no Facebook. So we exchanged the numbers, and somehow it happened that I gave my number and not my friend. And then Jaco, which is my boyfriend now, I have had his number. And then, I don't know, we went apart. We had a nice dinner all together. We went apart, and then we kept contact very casually. Once a while, there would be just like maybe Happy New Year or how are you? We didn't really actually keep contact. It was just like we had these numbers, and then Facebook came, and I think he found me on Facebook. And then we basically had a similar lifestyle. So we liked to travel. So we were mostly liking each other's pictures and just like saying hi and bye and how are you, happy new year, that's it. And then, 5 years ago, I had a burnout. And at that time, he was living in Las Palmas in Spain. And I think randomly, I commented on his picture on a day that I actually realized that I have a burnout. And then he texted underneath like, hey, why don't you just come and visit me in Las Palmas? So I was like, let's go, why not? So I just booked a ticket 1 month in advance, and then I just basically went there to visit him, but we didn't know each other. And then, we started to talk, and it was obviously nice.
But the spark wasn't exactly there yet when you were in Las Palmas.
No, but I think, well, I had a burnout, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was still heartbroken from my previous boyfriend. I mean, we liked each other. There was obviously something. He gave me a lot of feeling of peace and calmness. And I think that's why I never had that with guys also. Like, I always had this alpha man that would basically do everything to make me jealous or crazy. And then they would call me crazy because I'm jealous. Mm. But I don't know. It was nice to talk, and I really liked him. I really liked him as a person. So I thought, let's maybe not even like start dating, because I was here, he was there, but I was ready to give a try to meet once a while and see.
But was it like you were ready to meet once a while just also to casually maybe to, you know, also do romantic stuff? Or was it just like, we're friends?
No, I was attracted. He was also attracted. So I think it was just that I didn't have a goal that we will end in a relationship. And the truth is actually that he didn't want to be in a relationship. So actually, for a few months after that, we talked, and then nothing happened. We were just talking. And then I actually told him, like, look, okay, this is not going anywhere, because we are just promising each other that we're going to see each other, but we don't see each other. So we actually stopped for 6 months, I think. And then I was going for holidays to Tenerife. And I just told him, like, hey, I will be around. It's a different island, but if you have time, and just pass by. And till the last moment, I didn't know if he's going to come or not. And then he came. Actually, he stayed for 3 days. And then from then, I think we really start to feel like attraction, and we start to see each other actually every now and then.
Do you think he actually liked you already 20 years ago? Or it wasn't like...
Is he going to listen to that podcast? Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah, she's very likable. I can definitely confirm.
No, but I think he did. And I didn't. But also, he had a girlfriend at that time. So for me, it was not even... Yeah.
Mm. When did they broke up with the girlfriend? Do you know? A day after they came back from holidays?
No, I don't know. But I know that she has now a husband and 3 kids or something.
Oh, okay. Good for her. Yeah. It's nice. Okay, so you were guys in Tenerife. And this was the moment where you were like, okay, I'm really attracted to you. Did you have this like serious conversation where you discuss how are you going to make it work? What are going to be the rules? What's the future going to look like?
No, for first few months, we just try to see each other once a while and to see how it works. And I think because he was refusing, he didn't want to go even into relationship. Mm-hmm. I think it was me who had more of a need to name it or to put a little bit of frame. But I think it's also because of my previous relationships that, as I said, they would always make me crazy and jealous. So I needed some kind of confirmation that this is going somewhere. And his free spirit, he was single for, I think, many years. So I think he was also afraid to go into relationship. He was good on his own. So it took us a while, I think, before we gave a name like, okay, we are boyfriend, girlfriend.
But what made you not give up? Because in my situation, that's why my relationships fell apart, like the long distance ones, because I really needed this reassurance, especially because of the distance. So I really wanted them to name it, to make future plans, to make very structured plans when it comes, when are we going to see each other? And the moment they couldn't tell me like, okay, this is what I see for us in the future, I would just give up. So where did you find strength in you to just continue this casual, I don't know, wishy-washy, where are we going to... Were you not anxious?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I think when I fall in love, I'm not so clear about where does it go from the very beginning. I think I go on that flow of being in love, and I just enjoy seeing each other. I think I liked the idea of him living in Las Palmas. I didn't know at that time that he would actually permanently go back to Finland. So it was also nice to go to Las Palmas and have a nice time there. I don't know. I don't know. He was also different than my other boyfriends, as I said. So like, he's really a person that, first of all, he trusted me also. So I felt quite good, but at the same time, free.
Mm-hmm.
And then he is also the person that did not make me jealous. Like if he says that he goes and he serves for 10 hours, I know he goes and serves for 10 hours. He's not going to the bar and flirting with a girl.
Yeah.
That was my experience before. So I think also I had no rush because it felt safe and it felt good.
But did you then have the agreement that you're exclusive, that you're not going to be sleeping with other people?
Yeah.
Okay.
At certain point, yeah, it just, I think we just agreed that like, okay, now we are official.
So was there like different time frame for, okay, we're not sleeping with other people and then later on we're official, or that was like together?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think it came together, but I don't think we were sleeping with other people. I mean, actually when I met him in Tenerife, I was dating someone here. So I was the one that had like two lives, but they were, both of them, they were very aware of each other. I was honest about it. But at a certain point, I just decided to choose him, not even as a boyfriend, but I just, that's my personality, that I don't know how to share my
self
affection and myself. Like it's a lot of work, I think,
yeah,
to date two people at the same time.
Yeah.
So I just, for me, it was clear that I want to give my energy and my attention to him. Then for me, it's clear that I'm not sleeping with anyone else. And I don't think he is a person that does this either. So it just happened kind of without words.
What was the frequency that you guys were seeing each other? Like after the Tenerife, when did you see each other next?
I think he was coming here from Las Palmas. I think it was in Amsterdam. But on the beginning, we didn't see each other that often. Only when we decide that we are okay, now we are official. So from Tenerife, we were still kind of casually seeing here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think in September, Tenerife was in March, so still like 6 months. In September, we decided that it's official. And then from then, we tried to make a deal that we see each other every 3 weeks. I think that's the period that it's long enough if you are busy and you cannot see each other more often, but it's still not too long to like
lose
the connection and the affection and the interest. I think it's not that we managed to keep that for all this time, so
yeah,
through longer breaks as well,
because that's also what I had with my boyfriend, and it was also very difficult for me to go through it because at first he was coming here every week and then it changed to every 3 weeks because of his new job. And 3 weeks for me was way too long. Like I was really getting upset. And then when it got to the point where we didn't see each other for 5 weeks, I was like, we might as well just end it. And so we did.
I have to be honest, I don't know why she asked me about a successful long distance relationship. I mean, we also struggle. We also had a time, I think during COVID, we didn't see each other for I think 3 or 4 months. Then there was a period his dad passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So there were conditions that sometimes it was impossible to keep 3 weeks. And I also had a period when I thought, okay, we kind of had a good excuse why it didn't happen.
Yeah.
COVID, you cannot do anything about it. Health of your parent or death of your parent, you cannot do anything about it. But at the same time, I had a moment that I thought like, yeah, there always would be something. Like,
yeah.
You know, something has to change. So it's not easy. I think if you can keep it, then I would say 2-3 weeks is the, of course, the shorter the better, but I would say 3 weeks is still the amount of time that it keeps you going.
Yeah.
It's not that you cannot do it and it breaks the relationship.
So for the record, for our listeners and viewers, you guys have been together now for 4 years?
Yes.
Because the Tenerife thing, that was in 2019, right? Yeah. So in 2019, March, you kind of started chupi chupi doing things. And then in September, you were official. So then September till, was it February? Everything was fine. Like you guys were seeing each other. But then in February, everything shut down, right? In 2020.
I mean, on the beginning, I think it was not on the beginning that was, I mean, on the beginning, we managed to see each other. I think the moment that we couldn't see each other was when there was like really, because Holland also had the lockdown itself later.
Ours wasn't immediately. Ours came in like March or something, late March. Yeah, true.
I think the most difficult period was basically when the vaccines came, because I didn't vaccinate myself and then Finland closed the borders. So that was the moment we couldn't really see each other. Before, we managed to travel because you also had like this family, girlfriend, boyfriend exceptions and stuff.
What I'm trying to say is that it was quite fresh relationship. Like it wasn't even a year official. And then you couldn't see each other for 3 months. So I just wonder, what do you think made you guys survive it?
I don't know. I think maybe we were still fresh and excited. Yeah, I think the key, I mean, not that we have perfect connection, but I think the key to any relationship, not even long distance, is communication and like really sharing your feelings and your, yeah, how you feel, what you wish to see, what you wish to have, what you wish to share. I mean, we also have a horrible moment. That's the truth. I'm not going to lie. It's not because also he's going to chase me if I say we are perfect, because we are not.
No, but I must say that.
But we also had the moments that it was very difficult, because like I can see that sometimes when we had.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Break for longer than 3 weeks. We outgrow from each other. And I think it also depends where you start relationship. I think for us in the beginning, it wasn't even that easy. What kept us going, I think in my case, I'm not super young. My previous relationship was super shitty, or at least how it ended in the last years that we were actually not together, but he was emotionally dragging me back and forward. I think it just made me realize that there's not a lot of good guys in the world. And he really seemed like a person that I felt safe. I felt seen and heard. I don't know. I kind of tried, because I knew it's not easy to find a person like that. I actually never had a boyfriend like that. I always had the boyfriends that would make me insanely jealous because of their actions, flirting with girls around, texting with girls, keeping contact with million of your exes. I mean, I still have contact with my very, very first ex-boyfriend. We are friends, but I'm not having contact with every single person I dated or slept with. And my ex-boyfriend did that. And he told me he cannot quit contact because it feels like the person would die for him. And I found it was driving me crazy. And then he would call me that I'm jealous and I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But he made me. And with this one, I just think it also depends which person you meet and where you are yourself. He just never made me jealous in a way. He never made me jealous on purpose. Of course, there was a girl at a certain point on the very beginning that I was jealous because he was seeing her before me. And we kind of overlapped for a second. So, and she was in Finland and I was here. He's living in Finland. So I was jealous because of the situation, but he never made me jealous by his actions and his way of behaving around, like with other girls around him. So
yeah,
I think that also makes it easier.
I must say though that you guys are one of my favorite relationships in my friends. And honestly, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw some shade. I'm not going to call names, but I feel like most of my friends' relationships are very questionable. I wonder if some of my friends that are in relationships are going to come for me and be like, is mine questionable? Thanks for listening, though, because that means you listen. But I really feel like out of my friends, there's maybe like two or max three relationships that I know well enough, because, you know, some of people like you just know kind of from outside. But with those friends, like I feel like I've known you long enough and I know the insides of the relationship. I'm like, yeah, I feel like this is healthy. In your case, I just find it very sad that you guys are far apart, and I really hope for you guys that you're going to like figure out that at some point you are in one place. And I feel like that's the biggest minus of your relationship. But when it comes to like mutual respect, the way you're communicating and the amount of drama comparing with good times, I feel like it's healthy. This is also why I decided, you're welcome, but this is why I decided to talk to you about it rather than maybe somebody else. Not that I know a lot of people who succeeded in long distance, because I really think it's very, very hard. Mostly it fails more often than succeeds, truly.
Well, I agree. That's something, it's not a tip for anyone, but I do see difference also in me. I don't know. I think because I got the questions before to check on them. And then I was also thinking like, okay, why is it that we are still together? Because we actually do have a moment now that we suffer a bit, mostly because no one really wants to move me there or him here. We both understand the reasons of each other, like why we don't want to move. But at the same time, we are a little bit in a blind spot at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, where are we going there? Like, I also don't want to date my whole life long distance. No, but I think that because of my previous relationship, I learned not to sacrifice myself for another person in an unhealthy way. And then I also learned from my previous relationship that you shouldn't give 100% away and leave 100% from the happiness only that the person gives you.
Yeah.
You have to have your own life, and you have to have your own friends, your time, and you have to be okay with being alone. So if I feel sad because he's not here, that's fine. But if I cannot be here because he's not here, that's not okay.
No.
And I think because of that, I learned to like to be on my own, and I learned to actually enjoy being on my own. So I think that's also like, I'm not depending my happiness on him. So I love him, but I'm also okay while he's there and I'm here. I miss him, but it's not that
you can't live without
him.
I also think that's a very good tip, what you also said, for general, like in relationships, you shouldn't really put your happiness in the other person's hands. Like what you just said, like you really should be fine without this person. This person should be just an addition to your happiness rather than a factor that determines how well your day goes. I feel like this is where the toxicity starts. But you just said something, that you are happy when you're here by yourself. And I wonder if that also translates a little bit to the pros of long distance relationship. What would you say, before we move on to like cons, which are so kind of obvious, but what would you say would be pros of long distance relationship in your opinion?
I mean, I really like to have my own time and I like to do my own things. And in that sense, I really like the fact that we are not constantly together, or that I don't have to do everything with him.
Mm-hmm.
What is more as a pro? I don't know, because I'm in a moment now that I really want to like kind of find where we're going with it. But yeah, I think also because of that, you are not losing yourself that easily.
Yeah.
I can really do my things, and it gives you a lot of freedom and perspective on things also. But
yeah.
I mean, not to go from pros to cons, but in a way, sometimes it is a bit of a that there is another person next to me all the time also, because you have small space. So, and then one person is free, one person is working. So it's also the time division of like how much I give you when I work while you're on holidays, another way around. It's also difficult. But yeah, I mean, I know that I like the fact that I have my own life and I can do my stuff. I can focus on my business. And then when he's here, I know that I spend my time and I try to give him 100% of what I can to be together.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you. I feel the same, that this was one thing that I really, really liked, that he was away and I could like fully focus on myself and my business, and I didn't have to plan too many dates and stuff. But I feel like undeniably there's more cons towards it than pros. And what you're saying, that you have this like holiday feeling when this person is coming, and the kind of need and pressure to spend time with them when they're here, is definitely something that is pretty heavy in my opinion on long-distance relationships.
Yeah, it is. And I see that before he comes, I try to do as much as possible.
Yeah.
So when he comes, I have more time. Then I stress that I'm not doing what I want to do. Yeah, it's not easy. No one said it's easy.
No.
I think as long, I had this conversation actually with a guy 2 years ago. He's also in a long-distance relationship. They are younger though, so they had a little bit different because of course now I'm also thinking maybe I want to have a family one day, then you cannot do it as a long distance. And then he said actually that they almost broke up because at a certain point he was expecting her to meet, to do stuff in certain way together, and they almost broke up. And then he just realized that she's just not expecting anything. She just enjoys the time that when they are together, they enjoy it. And when they are apart, they are doing their lives. It doesn't mean that they were open relationship, but basically she was not putting any pressure or expectations. And I think that's what makes you happier.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you expect something and most of the time it's not fulfilled, and then you become bitter sour, or like bitter sweet, sour sweet,
whatever. Sour, yes. Very sour.
And then you become unhappy. And I think if you're younger, it's easier not to expect, which is actually weird because when I was younger, I think I expected more than now when I'm older.
Yeah.
But I think we also put a lot of pressure on us.
Yeah, I do agree. But do you also feel like, if you actually in this like long distance relationship where you visit each other and each time one person is on holidays, do you think that you actually at the end of the day don't really know each other? That you actually get to know each other when you eventually start living in the same country and you can kind of just see each other throughout the week for lunch?
Well, yes, I agree. And that's also something that I think I meant to say before and somehow we went into other topic. I think it also depends how you start the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with my boyfriend right now, I can see very easily that if we are also too long away from each other, we really like outgrow from each other because we don't really have a solid base. We started as a long distance. We never, you said, were really living even in the same city and dating like once a week or twice a week. I think the longest we were together was actually in Namibia when we were on holidays, which is also not a normal life, that we're like constantly for 2.5-3 weeks together. Otherwise it's like week in and out, and also one person is working, one person is on holidays. It's true, like for us maybe that's also, it's scary to move because it doesn't mean that we know each other and it's gonna work. With my previous relationship, we've been friends for 13 years. I mean, the relationship was way more difficult and sucked. So that's something also that is very interesting, that actually here I feel way more at ease and I have way more trust. Yeah, I just don't stress over stuff. Actually, he created me to worry about it because it wasn't there. But at the same time, because we had this 13 years of friendship, every time we wouldn't see each other for a longer time, we would always have topics to talk about and people to talk about that we know for years as well, because we are a group of friends. And now with him, sometimes I have the feeling that if we are far away for longer period, those are the stories are just the names and places mm-hmm. that are not really familiar for me. So it's difficult to keep it up. So it also depends from that where you started your relationship. Were you a friend? Did you knew each other before? Did you spend time together? Or is it like completely from distance?
I totally agree 100%. But I guess also if you stay in touch very intensely when you are in long distance relationship, when you call each other and you update each other about how your day was and what happened and what gossip you heard, then you kind of build up this connection that you can speak about when you're seeing each other again, right? Or not really?
I mean, it's difficult. This I would say it's difficult, especially, for example, in COVID, there was nothing happening.
Yeah.
We were sitting at home. So it's like, hi, how was your day? Same as yesterday.
I washed the dishes.
I was like, well, I did the laundry. That's my achievement of the day. I mean, it's not easy, but of course, it also depends from you. You can build it up. Try to maybe find things that you can do together and watch a movie online together.
Remotely.
Remotely.
I just had that in my thoughts because I was thinking about things that you already said that can facilitate a long distance relationship. So you mentioned the communication, that it's important to communicate. You spoke a lot about trust. And now you also talk about creative dates, let's say. So indeed, like watching a movie online. So what would be next to those that I just mentioned? What would be the other things and like strategies that you feel like helped you and Jakob maintain that strong relationship?
I mean, we also, once in a while, we try to meet somewhere else. So we are both on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah, that's a good one.
We go to, like last time we went to surf to Portugal. So then we kind of have the same experience. Not mm-hmm. that one person is working and one is on holidays, because it's also a different energy. So we try to, I would definitely say, try to meet also in the same conditions or different places that creates the equal energy for both of you, so you can still enjoy time together. Yeah, when we are here, we try to go on a date in a way, like as well. So it's not only that we visit each other and
yeah,
but we try to go for a nice dinner or do something nice with friends. Yeah, most of the time it's quite intense because we have just a few days, so we try to do a lot together, which is good and intense.
Yeah,
but it also keeps you alive. I would say also, if the person is like me, I like my space, I would suggest if you can have a bigger house, so when your friend comes to, or boyfriend, girlfriend, to see you, that you can also have healthy distance, in a sense like one can work for a moment in one room and you're in the other. So it also doesn't come from like completely nothing to like completely
being 24/7,
because that's, for me personally, is too much. I mean, I don't know, whatever keeps you, share interest, we love food. So we always try to find like a nice restaurant to go, or like every time I hear about restaurant, I make a list. And then when he comes, I try to take him to a new restaurant to surprise him. And I think that's also something that you see, that, okay, even if you're not together, the person remembers you and thinks of you. Like, even if you don't share the first experience together, then I can bring him
yeah.
and share that experience with him again, because I know he would like it. And little things like that, actually.
I think those are good tips. And you guys also call almost every day, or do you call every day as well?
We say good morning and good night every day. Well, sometimes I don't, because I collapse. And he used to be upset. Now I think he just got used to me being me. But we tried, on the beginning, we were calling every day. But now we are not doing it on some days. Like, for example, Tuesday is my crazy day. And then he knows that it's my crazy day. So sometimes he tries, but most of the time we don't talk. But then we have very open communication. Like, okay, this is my day and I just don't have time. I'd rather talk tomorrow without like stress. But I also think it's communication and depends from your partner. Because sometimes when we have more difficult times, we do also have like silent days.
Yeah.
But then we never disappear. Like, for example, he has his days that he goes to forest, Finnish people, with his friends to, I don't know, hunt or fish. And then he just tells me like, look, I go to the forest, I might not have a reception, so I might be quiet for 3 days. And I think it's okay. It's good. I don't think you have to talk every day to keep healthy long distance relationship, but it's important that the other person understands that this will happen and why is it happening. So for example, you need time to think, or maybe you're sad, or maybe you just want to spend time with friends. But for that you need trust.
Yeah, I think that's very important.
Because like, I know that if he tells me he's going to the forest, he's going to the forest.
Mm.
And I don't worry. I also because I trust him, I don't have the need to call him and to check on him. So I'm also not making him crazy by having million missed calls. But that's really because of him, how he is.
You know, you said also when you have like difficult periods that you can be also quiet. And that kind of made me think of, how do you guys resolve the conflict? Because in my case, that was something that was making me anxious when we had a little disagreement with my ex. I really felt like the fact that I had to wait for a moment when we can have a phone call, not even face-to-face confrontation, was just making me feel sick in my stomach. And also, it was so frustrating and annoying for me to resolve conflicts via the phone call, because then on FaceTime, you just talk and you discuss the conflict. And then when you're done with the conflict, maybe you can have like a little chat for like half an hour about the things. But I really missed that of like discussing something and then resolving the conflict and then hugging it out. And I feel like that was making it more difficult. So I wonder, how do you guys deal with it when you have an argument or disagreement? How do you guys resolve it with the distance in between you?
I mean, it's difficult. And yeah, we also had bad fights over the phone. And I hate it as well. I, first of all, I'm a person that I have to put everything out. I hate waiting it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we ever really waited in anger. I think we always, okay, I can get quite on fire and I sometimes scream.
We had a phone?
Yes.
He's holding it probably like this.
I don't know what he's doing, and better that I don't know what he's doing because it would make me angry as well. I try to put everything out at least. And then, yeah, sometimes it's too much. So sometimes we say like, okay, let's just finish now. And then at that point, I think both of us, we have to cool down. And then I cannot also stay for very long angry. And sooner or later, I would call and I would start to talk about it again. And I think during that time, he would also have his thoughts and he would think about stuff. We never left in anger for like quiet days. Mm-hmm. I think we would just like, you know, explode. We would go through it, bump each other. Then we would have a little moment of like, okay, it's out. So you're also tired. Then there's a little moment of realization. And then we would be like, okay, maybe it's good if we have like 2-3 days of
silence.
But it was never completely unresolved to leave it like hanging. I would get crazy.
Do you have a feeling with Jako that no matter what, no matter how bad the conflict is, you will always sort it out? You just know that you will go through this and it's okay if you need indeed like a day to cool down. And do you think that you're not that anxious or stressed about it because you have this trust in him and your relationship that you're going to like figure it out?
Yeah, I never thought about it, but maybe yes. I mean, there are some topics that are still going on for months now, like for example, what we're gonna do with it. I think to some things we just had to give time, but maybe because we never left completely unresolved, as you said, or like with this emotion of anger, it never really bothered me for a longer time. I think that there are topics that are coming back. It's not that every time we, you know, find the solution immediately, and for some stuff we still don't have a solution. But yeah, I think it's important to know that the person is not a person that would just shut the door or like, you know, I hate when people, they just switch off the...
Yeah.
This is what my mom sometimes does.
Yeah.
And yes, and I hate it. It's like, I found it so disrespectful. And so at least say like, sometimes we do with Jako, like if we are really angry, I because I hate to switch off, to be switched off, I hate to switch off on someone. So sometimes I tell him like, okay, look, I cannot anymore. So I'm going to switch off now. And then we call in a moment. So I think that's also important that you communicate. And sometimes it's also important to give a time because sometimes we fight, we have different things. And then we say, okay, let's stop for now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start to think, you start to analyze. And then you realize that maybe I am the one that is right. Or maybe actually there are two sides that I'm so overlapped in my own thoughts, then I think sometimes it's also nice to be in long distance when you fight in that sense, because I think when you are together, I'm an intense person, so I think I think I can get really like, you know, on fire and then throw words that I don't want to really say and then you regret. But when you're in distance, then you actually have this time like I have to sit on my own and think about it because he's not here, and then you're like, well, actually, okay, maybe he is right, or like, oh, maybe I did not see this from that perspective.
I do think, though, that this is, again, like a universal kind of advice when it comes to resolving conflict. Actually, I know that there is something called, is it argument styles? Just like you have love languages, you also have something like this when it comes to how do you argue. So some people are very confrontational. Some people have to hear that you're sorry. I forgot what is it like exactly, but I feel like
I like to hear that I'm right. Oh, yeah. You know what helps? When he calls me, I say, yes, it's okay. I understand you say sorry to me.
Just forcing the apology.
I accept your apologies. You never say, I'm sorry. And I'm like, yeah, I did it. So you mean you wanted to apologize to me?
Yeah, I really feel like this is in every relationship. Like sometimes you just need time to cool off. And if you are with someone like this who needs time to cool down before they speak, you also have to give them space to do this, even if you're that intense person. But overall, big props to you guys, because, yeah, obviously I couldn't do this.
So, not yet.
Yeah. And also, I was wondering if you guys also have that when you see each other, because this is what I had a lot, because I prefer to resolve conflicts face to face. When something would bother me and we would call, I wouldn't speak about it as much, or maybe just shortly, because I didn't want to like stress us on the phone. So then when we saw each other, I would come with this whole baggage of things that I want to discuss. And first day would be this like heavy conference. And I also feel like sometimes that would impact a little bit, not the whole visit, because after one day we would get over it, but sometimes I could see that he would be so excited to see me and be like, oh, we're going to do nice things. And I'm like, here are the things that I wanted to talk about face to face. But I couldn't do it the other way. And that's also something that I feel like would have been so much easier in a relationship if my partner would live here, because then you resolve it when you see each other. And obviously, because see each other you're more often, you can address the issue on the spot. And then in 2 days, you can just have a nice day. You can start immediately from a good vibe. Do you resolve your conflicts because of that on purpose via the phone, or do you actually also experience this kind of...
I mean, we also talk when we see each other. I mean, especially the topics that are unresolved still, they will come back, of course, when you're also together. Mm. But I think we don't have that first day of now we're going to put the resolution conference. But I think it's more because of I'm a person I cannot hold for too long. So yeah. For me, I have to, I would do it on the phone, but not because it's on the phone. It's because I cannot wait. It would eat me inside out if I hold for too long. I think he's a bit more person that holds for a while, but then it mostly ends in explosion on the phone still. But I also don't think he holds because he doesn't want to do on the phone. It's just we deal with the problems in a different way. I immediately explode and I can sometimes he's like, yeah, but I cannot anymore, I have to tell you. And I'm like, why don't you say immediately? Like, so that's, I think, personal. Yeah, we still talk, but it's not that when I see him I have to go out with it, unless it would be the fight would be like quite fresh, or fight
the disagreement
would be quite fresh, just let's say the day before or 2 days before. Then I, of course, when he comes, I would want to talk about it at first, then I can enjoy it. I mean, sometimes it's funny, because sometimes I have the feeling that we have this mini fights before he comes, and I just have the feeling we kind of sabotage the time he's coming. I don't know, but maybe it's just because it's a lot. And then most of the time, as I said, I try to do a lot before he comes, mm-hmm. and then I get anxiety, and so it's not necessarily really connected to our relationship.
Let's move on to the next question. We have a few minutes left. What are the mistakes that you have made maybe past years that you feel like you really have learned from and you would share with other people to help them avoid it?
Yeah, there's actually one thing that I regret, because I don't want to regret anything, but I would say if you live in a long distance relationship, of course you need time to adjust your lives if you want to move one for the other, or to adjust your work or whatever needs to be adjusted. So I understand that, especially if you live in a different countries and it's difficult to move for another person. Mm-hmm. So I would say don't move immediately, maybe get a little bit of time to also close things nicely in case you need to go back. But I would say one thing that I really see with our relationship, that sometimes when you wait too long, it doesn't work in your favor. So obviously, I mean, no one did any moves on the beginning because of COVID and because of his family situation. Of course, his mom is still there. He was taking care of his mom. So I understand why we waited so long. But I also think because we waited so long and we both got very comfortable on our ends, it's now difficult. I think that's one of the reasons why it's so difficult to make a decision to move. Also, because before, I think it's not that we are less in love or we love each other less than before. But before, there was a little bit more excitement also of this being fresh and new. And now, we want to live together, but actually we are also really good apart. So to risk it now, something, it's maybe more scary than when you have this extra excitement of like, you know, it's actually nice to go. And I don't know if I can explain correctly, but I think we, for some things, we just waited too long.
Yeah.
And it makes it more difficult now.
It makes sense that you're saying it, because I had just a brief conversation with somebody else who had a little long distance relationship. And he said the same thing, that it has very small chances to survive unless you guys already make plans who moves where in a short term, like up to a year. That's what he said. And I was like, I didn't really reflect that much on it, but I guess it does make sense.
I don't know if it's up to a year. I wouldn't put a date, but I think that definitely it's important to have certain steps set. So let's say like, okay, in 6 months, let's make sure that this is there. And then in 6 months, this is there, or 4 months. And we had that actually at certain point, but then the COVID came and we couldn't do anything.
And
then the family situation came and then we also couldn't do it. And then somehow we never achieved our first most important step.
Yeah.
So and now it's more difficult, I think, because of that.
What are so important things, in your opinion, to avoid in long distance relationships?
I mean, not everyone is made for a long distance relationship.
No, so I'm definitely not.
Yes. So I would say, well, if you know that you cannot, just don't do it.
Wait, I feel like I should answer this question because
yes, exactly.
I've been failing. So first things first, don't do it. Just don't do it. No, I'm joking. Or to be very honest, I feel like even though I failed, by the way, I didn't tell you guys how many times, three times I tried, three times. And that third time, we almost made it work. So many people were rooting for us, but we failed. So I would say that things that you really have to avoid is miscommunication. But that's also translates to the tips that you should do. So you really have to communicate. And I really feel like if you have some anxiety issues, you also shouldn't do it. Because if you're very anxious, you're going to get stressed and anxious even in relationships which are local. And I really think long distance relationships test your trust to the extreme.
I mean, you have to have a trust, basically.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, then it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Just avoid long-distance relationships.
I think if you just know you're not made for it, you're not made for it. And I think just listen to your inner feeling because, I don't know, some things are so clear for me that I don't want to do it. And some, when I doubt, I give a chance. And I wouldn't say, like, if you fall in love, don't give a chance. But, like, I would say make a deadline to, like, until that point, maybe you don't move for each other, but you want to have a plan. Let's say in 6 months, you want to kind of work towards the plan, how you're going to deal with that situation.
Yeah.
And if you cannot do that, then don't go for it. Because then, it will either not work out or, I mean, even though I'm happy, but at the same time, we ended a little bit in a blind spot. Because we are happy with each other, we can handle it, but we are also not really moving for each other at the moment. So. Yeah, I think timing is very important. That can work either in your favor or against you.
I think what you said about the feeling also applies to what you were saying a while ago about the guys making you crazy and making you jealous and keeping in touch with other exes, la la la. All in all, I feel like you should always listen to this gut feeling. I was also told the same by my therapist that if that's stomach feeling tells you to not do something or that feeling tells you that there is something going on, as in your partner is talking to a friend and you just have a feeling that there's something off about this friendship, I would recommend you to listen to it because, girl, you're
listen
not crazy.
Listen to it and act accordingly because listening, it's one thing because I listened in some previous relationships, but I was not acting.
No.
So I think the most important is if you go into long distance relationship, but you're not happy, you have to act and do it now, not in 10 years.
And sometimes it's difficult to make those tough decisions because it's scary. But all in all, I feel like choosing yourself is always the best decision that you can do. Breaking up with this person was really sad, but I'm very proud of myself as well. Okay, the last question. What advice would you give to others? I feel like we already spoke about a lot of advice, but maybe you have some last word for others who are considering or currently are in long distance relationship. The ones that are considering, don't do it. No, I'm joking.
No, I think the most important ones we already said about.
Yeah, let's sum it up. So communication.
Yeah, definitely. You have to communicate openly and sometimes it's even like I can still see with my boyfriend that sometimes we still communicate in a different way. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what he says, even though I know he wants good, it's not the way I communicate. So it drives me crazy. But that's also something you learn. And I slowly learn that's his way. And he's actually trying good, not bad. Definitely building up trust and not playing, especially in a long distance relationship. I think playing and making other people jealous just because, I don't know, it gives you some kind of reward for yourself. It's just crazy. I think it's really important to trust each other and then communicate also about that trust. So talking. Set
the deadlines.
The deadlines for different things. Sometimes it doesn't have to be big things, small steps, but just that it go somewhere. And sometimes you set these deadlines to realize that you have different needs or different expectations, which is also okay. Yeah. The sooner the better. And then definitely I would say set the minimum of or maximum of the distance period, because also everyone is different. For some people 1 week is too much, and for some people 3 weeks is too much. So you have to find yourself in the middle, so everyone is happy, not that one is choking and the other one is, getting their love. Meet somewhere else also, so not always that you go to the other person that works and you're the one on holidays, because then the energy is also different.
Mm-hmm. That was a really good one.
Yeah, I would say if you can and you love traveling, just set a place. Like, we love ocean and surfing, so we went Portugal, we went to Las Palmas, we went to Namibia.
Yeah.
So that's also something important. Find stuff to do together when you are together.
Yeah, also. I was about to say, you also mentioned the dates. I think that's also a really good one. Okay, one more question from me. When do you think it's time to end it? When would you say it's time to give up?
I think this is for any kind of relationship, even like friends, relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, living together, but especially in long distance, if it takes from you more energy than it gives you, or mm-hmm. like happy feeling, if you feel drained, if there's no balance and it drags you down, then that's definitely the time to cut it.
Yeah.
So if you feel that it's too heavy and you cannot fix it and you try it, I mean, I would say try it because I'm still a believer. But if it's enough, it's enough. I know it's scary, but I think sometimes like a sharp cut and a sharp decision and stay true to yourself actually made something out of it. Either maybe this other person realized what he, she lost and they come back.
Yeah.
Or you actually realize, of course, not on the beginning, that that was the best decision of your life. So I would definitely say don't overweight and don't postpone it.
Yeah.
Because that's what we kind of did it, and not about breaking up, but like moving. And now it's difficult. I also know you a little bit and I know your previous stories. And I always knew you have a strong character and you know what you want. That's why I'm also proud of you that like this time you really made your decision and it was quite quick. I mean, you didn't give up immediately. You tried, but you also had limit to what you could do and what you expected to get, and you didn't get it. So I don't think if you would wait another 3 months, 5 months, you will get it. And not to give up hopes, but you were very sharp and strong, and maybe you never know.
We never know. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us, Maria. Maria is my wise friend, older sister from another mother, and my father. I really appreciate you coming to share with my... Well, I came to her house. We're at her house. But I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us. And to be very honest, you talking made me like re-reflect again about my previous relationship. And actually, to be very honest, I wish we had recorded this podcast when I was still in it, because, I mean, I'm still standing behind the decision of breaking up, but now I see that maybe there were some things that I could have addressed differently. But the things when they were, it went. But it's okay. So I really hope that for you guys it gave you some insight, and like I said at the beginning, that it either way allowed you to relate, that you found some advice that you find useful for yourself, that you found this extra push to either way push through and continue, or actually end this relationship and choose yourself depending on the circumstances.
I have to hide my Instagram account now because I will get all the blame from the boyfriends.
I was about to ask whether we can also tag you and just link you up, because besides
just being, block my boyfriend.
Besides being very wise, Maria is also an amazing dancer. So if you're considering doing some pole dancing and learning about flexibility and building up your muscles and working out, please make sure to check Maria Kuchowicz. I'm going to tag her in the post, and FitFlow art page from Maria, because she's doing a lot of amazing things. Any last word?
No, not really. I think I said everything. I mean, actually, it was nice. So thank you for asking me, because I actually realized I have a nice boyfriend.
Yes, she really does. She really does.
Yeah, but it's, as I said, I mean, thank you for like saying that I'm an expert from long distance relationships. I don't know. Somehow, I think you also have to find the reasons why it's worth it.
And yeah.
Yeah, I really have the first time a boyfriend that, I don't know, he respects people in general. And I think he's really not playing with me also. Maybe it's also a bit of the age. Like, I really never understood these relationships that you have to have this need of like kind of playing with each other.
No, I think, I mean, this is toxic.
Yeah, it's, yeah, exactly. So yeah, thank you.
You're going to call
him and tell him, oh, I love you. Are you moving to Holland?
Oh, thank you guys so much for listening. Let me know what you think. And if you have any other tips and what to do and what not to do, or if you have any other stories and you're watching this on YouTube, please write it down in the comments. And who knows, maybe we're going to make another episode. There is going to be an episode about major relationship fails, like the sad stories.
I have plenty.
Yeah, same. The strategy relationships. So if you want to share yours, please, if you have some successful one, also share. I guess it's time to let you guys go. Sending you lots of kisses and lots of positive energy and lots of love. And I speak to you next time. Bye.
Bye.